Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, it's getting back to school time, and with back to school comes your annual sports physicals, and along with that comes vaccinations, because now schools are starting to require that your children have certain vaccinations at certain ages before they can even come back to the school. My guest is Dr. David Hill. He's Vice President of Cape Fear Pediatrics in Wilmington, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hill. Let's talk about what are the recommended immunizations, and let's start with the years like, 10, 11, 12 years old. There seem to be a lot in those age groups and things that the schools are generally, most states we're talking about, requiring.
Yeah, you bet. We're seeing this, and obviously being somebody who's into public health, I think it's a really good thing, because one unvaccinated child can bring a disease to a whole lot of kids, including some vaccinated kids, because no vaccine works in 100% of the people who get it. And if something's really highly contagious, even some kids that we thought were protected aren't really. So not only are you protecting your child when you get them vaccinated, but you're also protecting all the other kids in that class from getting something that your child might have given them. The thing that is most widely required by schools now is the booster dose of tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis. And this is a really big deal. Tetanus, of course, is lockjaw, right? It's the thing you get from stepping on a rusty nail, or there are not a lot of cans with pop-tops anymore, but jagged edge of a can, any wound that gets dirty. And tetanus, we forget because we don't see it anymore, but it is a horrible infection. The bacterium that gets into you with tetanus excretes a toxin that paralyzes your nerves. And if it doesn't get treated very quickly, kids can still die from this. Fortunately, almost everybody's vaccinated, and we don't see a ton of cases anymore, but it's scary, scary stuff, and vaccine is by far the best way to protect from it.
So now, but tetanus comes in with the diphtheria and pertussis vaccine,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just one shot, but you got three for the price of one in that one, so it's a really useful vaccine. The second piece of that is diphtheria, which, again, we don't see a ton anymore because most people are vaccinated. But untreated diphtheria can cause the throat to close up, stop breathing. That can also be a deadly disease in those who get it. And then the last one is something we are seeing a whole lot of, and that is pertussis, or whooping cough. This is caused by a bacteria called Bordetella pertussis. And even in our own community here in North Carolina, where I practice, we have seen outbreaks of it. And pertussis is not terribly dangerous to most older kids, but when infants and young children are exposed, it can be a very lethal infection indeed. It can also lead to a cough that just never seems to go away. The cough from pertussis can last months. It's incredibly annoying. And teenagers and adults can be a source of pertussis for younger kids and for others. So that Tdap vaccine is what we call it, for tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis, is really critical. And that one is required for entry into middle school or junior high school in many places.
Now, what about like meningitis vaccine? Because I know as kids go off to college, but now even the younger ones, because that's another pretty serious disease.
Yeah, absolutely. We have one form of the meningitis vaccine that's now approved for younger children. But the one that you're going to see required for a lot of kids is usually given around age 11 to 12 years. The particular kind of meningitis we're talking about, anything that infects the fluid around the brain, is a meningitis. But this is a really nasty flavor of it called meningococcal meningitis. It's caused by that bacteria, meningococcus. And it is incredibly hard to treat when somebody gets it. The mortality rates for meningococcal infections can be around 50%, and they're also incredibly infectious. So very casual contact with someone who has that type of infection can spread it. It spreads particularly well in groups of young people who get together. So the classic is colleges, military barracks. But guess what? That also describes a high school. And now that we can protect kids starting middle school or junior high school from getting meningococcus, this is a really smart vaccine. It is not required in all places, but whether or not you have to have it to enroll, I cannot encourage you strongly enough to get it. Kids who do survive meningococcus can lose limbs. I've personally taken care of one child who's actually now the poster child for meningococcal vaccine, at least for one of the groups, who lost all of his limbs. He survived the meningococcal infection. But, I mean, I don't want to trot out horror stories, but it is kind of a horror story when it gets you. It's a really, really bad thing that is, in many cases, completely preventable.
Now, what about measles, mumps, rubella, the MMR? Are these pretty much required, or are these more vaccines of, you know, you don't want your kid to get measles or mumps?
You know, I believe MMR is required in most places, and mumps and rubella can both be nasty, but the most important one in here, in my mind, is probably the measles, particularly because measles can be lethal. It can lead to permanent neurologic problems in kids who do survive it. And it is incredibly contagious. Of all the illnesses that we vaccinate against, measles is one of the ones that can jump from one person to another extraordinarily easily. So getting your child protected against it is really critical. And when you get your child protected, you're protecting them from carrying it. And measles is another one that we see, right? It used to be like nobody had seen it in my generation. Doctors were like, what's measles? I've never seen it. You had to go back a generation or two to find people who'd actually treated the disease. But it is coming back, especially in areas where lots of kids are unvaccinated in certain communities. We've had travelers from other countries come back. And when it gets there, it spreads like wildfire. So this is a really important vaccine for kids to get.
And what about hepatitis vaccines, A and B, around that same age? Kids are getting hepatitis vaccines too?
Yeah, hepatitis B vaccine and hepatitis A vaccine, even though they both start with that same word, are very different. Hepatitis B is probably the more dangerous of the two infections. Some of hepatitis B, people know that it's transmitted by sexual contact, by blood contact, needle sharing, right? It can cause liver disease leading to transplant or to death. It is very easy to get, however, and some transmission of hepatitis B, a pretty substantial amount of the transmission, is not from sexual contact, and it's not from sharing needles. There is some transmission that is unexplained. There's some that occurs from mother to child at the time of birth, and that's why, you know, you're thinking, well, my child's not sexually active. They're certainly not shooting up heroin, and yet it's easier than you would think to get hepatitis B, and the vaccine is incredibly effective. So that's a really important one to get. Most kids get it around the time of birth. It's actually one of the only things that we can give at birth, maybe the only. And then most kids will get their second dose in the first couple of months of life and their third one in the second 6 months of life. But if your kid hasn't had it for some reason and they're going to school, definitely get it then. Hepatitis A also is a virus. It also affects the liver, which is what hepatitis means, but it's a very different virus. This one comes from food and from water, and we've actually seen some recent foodborne outbreaks. Seafood is especially famous for carrying it. I live in an aquatic environment down here where we're on the beach, and people eat a lot of oysters, and they swim in a lot of water that's potentially contaminated. But you can also get it from produce that you buy at your local grocery store that happens to have it on it from somewhere.
Now, Dr. Hill, we're out of time. Can you, in 30 seconds, please wrap up the back-to-school vaccines for us, the importance of them?
Absolutely. These vaccines not only protect your child, but they protect all the kids around your child. Don't think that your child can't get these diseases or that, my gosh, getting the disease naturally is better than getting the vaccine. If they didn't kill people, we wouldn't vaccinate against them. So getting it naturally is a seriously dangerous plan.
And find out from your school what are the required vaccines. Make sure you vaccinate your children. Pediatricians like Dr. David Hill do not like to see some of these infections and diseases coming back into vogue. So make sure you vaccinate your children before they go back to school. That's a great time to do it. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.